All right, it looks like we are right at 10 o'clock. We are recording, is that correct?
That is
all right,
correct.
We're on the record. Good morning, I'm Susan Drummond, Benton County Hearing Examiner. It is Friday morning, 10 a.m., January 17, 2025. We have a fairly full agenda today. There's the null and void for the pit bull pen. Are most of you here for that? Raise your hand if so.
I'm sorry, the
pit bullpen, the null and void for that. No, okay. All right.
So all of the people on the wall and then Jesse.
Okay. I may put that towards the end. Typically those are dealt with up front, but usually there's no comment. So this one's a little unusual. So I may put that at the end. We also have an extension request from Ms. Miller. That one should go fairly fast. Yes, I have a question from the audience.
I'm hard hearing as hell, so if you see just... speak up, it would help.
Okay. Yes, I will try to speak up. Hopefully it's not too loud for everyone. Is this okay? All right. Let me know if I slip because I may forget. So, after that, we have two requests for accessory dwelling units and then two variance requests. One is a land use variance. The other is a flood variance. And for each matter, the order of procedure will be as follows. I'll hear first from the applicant or the person who requested the action, the decision being taken. We'll hear first from the planning department, then from the person that has requested the decision. And then we'll open the matter up for public comment. Anyone who is here either online or in the hearing room may testify on the proposal. I typically will limit public comment to 3 to 5 minutes, but I may have some flexibility depending on how many people are present, but just wanted to give you a heads up on that. In terms of the criteria that I review, I'll address the null and void separately, but say, for example, for the accessory dwelling units which require a conditional use permit, there are criteria specific to the ADU. With regard to the CUP, the conditional use permit, I essentially look at land use compatibility, surrounding uses, avoidance of material detriment, and whether there's adequate infrastructure to support the use. In terms of the flood variance, the criteria are in the Benton County Code at Chapter 3.26. They're fairly detailed, but essentially you're looking at avoidance of injury to surrounding properties, both personal injury as well as property injury. And then on the land use variance, the big question is that there's unique circumstances to the property and there's no grant of special privilege. That's just a broad recap. There's more detail, of course, in the staff report and the exact language is online. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. What that means is it's somewhat formal. So when you testify, I will swear you in and I will formally admit exhibits. Also, I cannot have any conflicts of interest that would impair my ability to render a fair and impartial decision. I've reviewed the materials for all of the matters before me today. I am not aware of any, but if there are any concerns, now is the time to raise them. We are proceeding both in person and on Zoom. If we have any technical issues, we usually don't, but occasionally we'll have something. We will halt the proceeding and sort those. And if at any point, anyone either in the audience or online cannot hear me, please speak up. Let me know, and we will adjust things as need be. Are there any procedural questions before we get started? Okay. I think what we'll do, we'll turn first to the extension item. This is for two conditional use permits. We'll just consolidate them. It's the same property, same applicant, Ms. Miller. This is for the Wheathead Brewery, their extension on the event center and farmers market, matter number CUP 2023-009 and 10. Ms. Watts, are you presenting on that?
Yes, I can.
I'll go ahead and swear you in if you could state your name once more for the record.
Andrea Watts.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
The applicant, Christina Miller Phillips of Wheathead Brewing, obtained conditional approval for two conditional use permits, one to operate an events facility and the other to operate a farmer's market in the Growth Management Act area. On January 2nd, 2024, the applicant is requesting a one-year extension in order to complete the final conditions of approval, which include finalizing their Group A water system, developing noise and traffic control plans, and determining if a stormwater general permit is required.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Watts. I do not have any questions for you. Is the applicant online or in the hearing room?
She is not.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone from the public who would wish to comment on this extension request? All right, let the record reflect there is no one who wishes to comment on this. I do not see a reason why not to grant the extension request. It seems like she is actively pursuing the permits, and so there is a basis for granting the one-year requested extension. So I will grant that request for both of the two COPs. Okay. I think we'll address the accessory dwelling units next. We'll start with CUP 2024-021. This is a proposal from Trevor Tappany, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Who is present? Tappany?
Yes. Okay. Tappany as well.
All right. Ms. Watts, do you remain under oath? Actually, one second. Let me see in terms of the exhibits. 2024-021. So on the exhibits that I've received, HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.10, those are all admitted into the record. You may proceed when you are ready, Ms. Watts.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-021 on October 21st, 2024. The applicant, Trevor Tappany, is proposing to construct a 798-square-foot accessory dwelling unit located on the ground floor of a two-story, 1,466-square-foot accessory building. The property is approximately 3.7 acres in size and is located in the Rural Lands 5-acre district southeast of the intersection of Clodfelter Road and Mammoth Drive in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 3,456-square-foot single-family dwelling with a 408-square-foot attached garage. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal, and the following comment of note was received during agency review. The Benton PUD commented that the proposed ADU cannot be built over the service line to the existing home. With that, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 24 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant online or in the hearing room?
He is online.
Mr. Tappany, was there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department summary of your proposal?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is that Mr. Tappany?
Yeah.
Was there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department summary of your proposal?
No.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I do not have any questions for you. At this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone who is either in the hearing room or online who would like to comment on this proposal? Okay, let the record reflect there was no one present to comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed all of the materials for this conditional use permit request for an accessory dwelling unit in conjunction with the Benton County code requirements, and I do believe the proposal is consistent with those requirements, so should be granted. I will be issuing a decision approving the proposal that will be forwarded to the planning department and emailed to the applicant and anyone else who wishes to request a copy. And that will be out within 10 business days, probably earlier. Any procedural questions? Nope. Okay. All right, Mr. Tappany, we have finished with your item. You're certainly welcome to stay online if you wish, but there will be no further questions for you.
Thank you.
All right, so we will move to the second accessory dwelling unit proposal. This is CUP 2024-022, proposed by Richard Davey. I've received exhibits HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.11. Those are all admitted. Ms. Watts, are you also presenting?
Yes.
You remain under oath. You may proceed when you are ready.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-022 on November 25th, 2024. The applicant, Richard Davey, is proposing to construct a 347-square-foot accessory dwelling unit within a proposed 3,273-square-foot shop. The property is approximately 2 acres in size and is located in the Urban Growth Area Residential District off of Arena Road in the West Richland area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 960-square-foot single-family dwelling. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. However, the Benton County Rural Water Coordinator did comment that the new dwelling must comply with the Rural Water Supply Program. With that, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 23 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant, Richard Davey, online or in the hearing room?
I don't think he's online.
Okay. All right. I did not have any questions for Mr. Davey, so no need to keep the record open on that. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on this proposal?
Nobody online.
Okay, let the record reflect there is no one from the public who would like to comment on this proposal. As with the prior ADU, I have reviewed the exhibits that were submitted for this proposal in conjunction with the CUP and ADU criteria, and I do believe the proposal is consistent with those criteria. So I will be approving this CUP request. The decision will be out within 10 business days, probably earlier. And that will be emailed to the applicant and anyone who requests a copy. Any questions on that one? Nope. Okay. All right. So we will now move to our variances. I guess we'll do the flood variance first. So that would be VAR 2024-004. This is proposed by Brad and Tara Sebo. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Sebo?
Sebo.
Okay. Sebo. All right. Okay, and in terms of exhibits on that, I received HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.10. Those are all admitted. Are you presenting on this? If you can state your name for the record.
Elizabeth Turner.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed when you are ready.
The Planning Division received the application for VAR 2024-004 on November 21st, 2024. The applicant, Brad Sebo, is requesting a variance from flood requirements to construct a 2,400 square foot addition to an existing 2,520 square foot accessory building in the 100-year flood zone that does not currently meet regulatory flood requirements. The total square footage of the structure will be 4,920 square feet. The applicant is proposing to bring the existing structure into compliance with Benton County Code Chapter 3.26 by obtaining a variance to wet floodproof the structure, and he would like to construct the addition to the same standards. The property is approximately 3.78 acres in size and is located in the Rural Lands 5 acres district off of East Ranch Road in the West Richland area of unincorporated Benton County. The structure is located within the A4 flood zone, otherwise known as the 100-year flood zone. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 14 findings of fact and 3 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. And it looks like the applicant is present in the hearing room. Was there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department summary of your proposal?
I have one piece that I could add.
Yeah, let me have you swear you in, and we'll be able to catch you on the microphone there. If you could state your name for the record.
Brad Sebo.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed.
The only thing that I would add is the structure that I built initially was planned and permitted via Benton County, and at that time, we had a certain level that we had to build it to, a certain elevation height. And then I thought I'd just add on to it, no big deal. But now I'm finding out what was permitted is actually 11 inches too low. And so the option was either to elevate or to floodproof it using venting. And I just can't elevate it. Just the way it sits, the roof lines, it's going to cost me a fortune to elevate it. And it'll look weird to do so. So I'm just trying to comply. Benton County's been great in helping me navigate the rules. And I think the flood bedding is a good compromise. So I just like to get
and
it
I think both structures will now be, it would be consistent with
the I'm having to retro the other structure as well. That's so right. I'm having to add 24 vents, I believe, 23 or 24.
It's
quite a few. But
and you had said the site, I noticed in your application, it in 1996, I guess there was a big flood.
96, I purchased the property in 97.
Oh, 97, okay. You said in 96, I guess, in the application, it didn't hit, the floodwaters did not actually hit the site. Is that, did I catch that correctly?
You know, they... My pasture swoops down. Uh-huh. That, of course, flooded. Yeah. Where this area was, I do not believe it did based on photos and mm-hmm. neighbors that were there at the time.
Yeah,
we have had five flood events since then, and nothing's been close, but nothing really touched the 96 year anyway.
Oh, that was the, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a, it doesn't flow through there anyway. It actually comes back around. The low spot is to the south of me.
Okay.
But.
All right. Thank you. I didn't have any other questions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on this proposal?
I do not see anybody online.
Okay. Let the record reflect there was no one present who would like to comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed the variance request, and there are a fair number of criteria. Again, it's primarily focused on property and life safety. And I do believe that with the mitigation and the compliance, with all of the code requirements, that the proposal does meet the code criteria. So I will be approving this variance. A decision will be out within 10 business days, possibly earlier. I don't want to promise, but certainly within 10 business days. That will be emailed to the planning department. They will forward that to the applicant, anyone else who requests a copy. Any procedural questions? Okay. All right. You're welcome to stay if you wish, but not required because we're done with this proposal.
Have a good day.
Yeah. We are now on our last variance. This is matter 2024-005. This is proposed by Newton Engineering for USA Gas, I think my writing.
Air Gas
USA. Apologies for that. And it is installation of rail car offloading structures. And this is 2024-005. Ms. Kern, are you?
I am.
Yes. Okay. Here it is. Okay. I've received on this exhibits HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.8. Those are all admitted. Ms. Kern, you may go ahead when you are ready.
The Planning Division received the application for VAR 2024-005 on December 5th of 2024. The applicant, Knutson Engineering for Airgas USA, LLC, are requesting a variance to construct four rail car offloading structures so that the structures can encroach up to 10 feet into the required 30-foot setback. Per Benton County Code, Chapter 11.35.080B1, all structures must be set back 30 feet from any property lines bordering the rural lands 5-acre zoning district. The proposed variance would result in no less than a 20-foot total setback from the east property line on the north end of the subject parcel. The location of the existing infrastructure and the narrow panhandle shape of the lot limit the suitable locations to construct the rail car offloading structures. The 3.07-acre property is located within the heavy industrial zoning district in the Findlay area of Benton County. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. Planning staff is recommending approval of the application, subject to the suggested 8 findings of fact and 3 conditions of approval, as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. This may be for the applicant. I'm looking at the site plan, HEM 1.14, and it looks like the rail loading, the four rail loading facilities, they're on the flagpole section of the lot. Is that correct? Am I reading that correctly? Okay,
yes.
That's mm-hmm. what I thought. And there looks like there's some existing CO2 tanks there.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right. I have one question, but I'll ask the applicant that.
Okay.
So is the applicant present for this proposal?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You could state your name for the record.
Paul Knutson.
You, and you are with Knutson Engineering.
Knutson Engineering, yeah. But yeah.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You may proceed when you are ready with
sure.
anything additional you'd like to add.
I would say, as the applicant, we appreciate the county for helping us put this together, this variance, and preparing the staff report. We agree with the findings of fact and also the suggested conditions of approval. The only thing that I would perhaps add is just the, you know, the nature of this request. You know, looking at the parcel itself, this flagpole piece only is 33 feet wide, which makes it very challenging to meet this setback being adjacent to RL5. The other thing is that these tanks are being replaced. Those aren't the structures being replaced.
Right.
It's the rail car offloading structures. They were there 4 years ago. There was four of them at that time. By today's standards, they're not considered safe. And so the intent was to replace those four structures. One of them already has been replaced, but it was not permitted correctly, and it was replaced within the one-year time frame because there's another section in the county code which allows for non-conformist use, non-conforming uses to be replaced if it was within 1 year. So this, to reiterate too, this is a structure but not a habitable structure. It's temporary, and it's only used when their technicians or their employees actually go and unload the CO2 gas from the rail car tanker to their main CO2 tank. And that was really all I had to add, but wanted to thank you.
Yeah, you know, I just
had questions.
Yes, I wanted to clarify. So is the variance request, is it for all four or for the three new?
It's for all four.
Okay.
Because we acknowledge that structure was not correctly permitted,
okay,
with
so
the county
all...
at the time. So we will go and apply for that structure to be legally permitted,
okay,
as well.
Okay, so the variance request would cover all four. And it looks, I think you've reiterated this, I don't know how, where else you would cite it on the properties, given the railroad location, and then this, it is you do have an unusual geographic circumstance.
Correct.
Which is a code requirement.
I think even beyond back in time, I don't know how or when, but I believe the zoning too wasn't necessarily adjacent to RL5 a long time ago. It is now. So there's no question that the setback is required by that zone designation. But back in old times, I believe it was similarly zoned.
Okay. I do not have any further questions for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on this proposal? Yes, we have someone in the back. Would you like to step forward? Good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
Michelle Barrett.
Michelle, if you could spell it, is it two L's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Barrett, could you spell that?
B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
E-T-T, okay. And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed when you're ready.
If you're looking at the map, yeah. I live right in the middle of all of that, all those tanks.
Are you the resident? I think they show
yes,
your resident.
The
okay,
resident
gotcha.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just have more questions than... Like
okay.
A major concern.
Yeah. Why don't you identify your questions, and then I may have the applicant come back up and address those. So it wouldn't be me answering your question,
right.
But yeah. But if you could just outline your questions.
Okay. So when we bought the house 3.5 years ago, that railroad wasn't even being used. It had overgrown, and so we were like, oh, no problem. And then they started cleaning it up shortly after we moved there. But we've noticed, like the other day, I'm not even kidding, I was at home, I had the music going, and the train hit so hard it rattled my windows. So is this going to bring more rail cars in, more tankers, I guess, since they're going to put the new hubs in? Because, my house is right there.
How many feet are you? I'm just looking at this.
I'm not exactly sure, because at first I thought they wanted to come in 30 feet on my side, which literally put them right outside my door.
It looks like I'll have the applicant address. It looks like your 82.7 is what the site plan says, and that's from the flag property mm-hmm. line. Yeah. But go ahead with your questions.
Other than just, is it going to bring more stuff, more traffic in, and will I need to do anything on my part?
Okay.
And that should be about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Is there anyone else who would like to comment on this proposal?
Nobody online.
Nobody online. Okay. All right. Yes.
I could address some of her.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great if you can step forward. If you could state your name for the record.
Ron Thomas.
Ron Thomas, and T-H-O-M-A-S, I presume.
Correct.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed when you are ready.
So just kind of to address her question about if there's going to be some increased traffic, there will be some increased rail traffic. And that is the intention for this. The loading stations, as Paul had said earlier, are dated. They were put in the 60s. They don't meet current safety standards. We want to replace those for the safety of our personnel as they unload rail cars. Rail car traffic is expected to increase somewhat. I don't know the exact extent.
Mm-hmm.
We currently get the majority of our product by truck, but they're not able to keep up with increased demand. Our CO2 is used for in this area for food service, beverage service, stuff like that. So the demand is increased. We need to bring in more product, and rail is our source.
Is that primarily what is loaded and offloaded at this location, the CO2?
Correct,
that,
CO2, okay. Liquid CO2.
And then I'm just curious where it goes to and kind of what the transport route, not in detail, but.
Well, I mean, we cover all of Washington, Oregon, and into Montana.
Okay.
You know, like I say, it goes to beverage,
mm-hmm.
Soda bottlers, Tyson Foods, one of our customers.
So a truck would come in, this looks like pretty large tanks, but are they loaded initially by truck and then rail is transport?
Now we're currently loading by truck.
Okay.
You know, into those tanks. We use it as a storage facility for product till needed.
Okay.
Excess product from the suppliers is put there till we need to take the product for distribution to customers.
Okay. And is it distributed by truck as well as train or just train?
No, it's distributed by truck.
By truck. Oh.
Yeah, we're going to start importing by rail.
Oh, okay, so it hasn't been.
We've been bringing some in, as she stated, but you know, yeah. Just to answer her question, over 3 years past, the traffic will increase some.
You don't have a number.
I don't have a number, and I don't expect it to go real crazy, but you know, it's I don't have a.
Do you have an idea on like the train, like in terms of a daily or monthly or weekly or some sort of?
Right now they're talking probably 4 to 6 a month.
4 to 6 a month. Okay. So 1 or 2 a week, maybe.
Right. Well, they could bring them in as a group, and that's why we will have the 4 stations. Because if they bring in four rail cars, we want to be able to unload all 4.
Yeah. And is it really typically during daytime hours or?
I would. The unloading is definitely during daytime hours,
mm-hmm.
the unloading process. I can't speak to the train spotting. I would assume they probably daytime hours as well.
Okay. I'm just wondering in terms of conditions, if, you know, their mitigation, probably, I mean, presumably daytime would have less impact, you know, from a...
Every time they've dropped, you know, spotted a train in the past has been daytime hours. I would assume it's going to be a daytime spot.
Okay. All right. And is there any other mitigation that might be useful? It looks like that it's about 82.7. Obviously, the train would be a little bit further. Well, maybe even because it's outside the train itself is outside the property line.
Right.
So
right.
Probably plus 30. So just over, 110, 112, maybe roughly to the train, I suppose. But any other mitigation in terms of like vegetation or anything like that would be appropriate. Any other mitigation like vegetation or anything like that would be appropriate. I noticed it looks like there is a fence there.
There is a fence around that flagpole piece mm-hmm. of property. Our whole property is fenced.
What type of fence is it?
It's a chain link right
chain
now.
Link. Okay. Okay. Anything else on that?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Ms. Barrett, do you have any follow-up questions on that?
Not necessarily a question, but the other night...
I'll have to, yeah, just so we catch you. Yep. And just for the record, this Ms. Barrett has a follow-up comment.
Two nights ago at 9:30, they were moving rail cars.
Okay.
So other than that, I've seen them at nighttime because they're out there with flashlights or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've noticed that 9:30 at night, the other night, they were out making noise.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So from the applicant, is there any objection to a condition that would be limiting in terms of after hours, like after 9 or that are some sort of language about railroad activity
nothing from our point, nothing mm-hmm. from our side. Mm-hmm. The problem would be railroad. You know, I can't speak to their scheduling.
Yeah.
But if, you know, there's nothing, we're only there during the daytime anyway.
Yeah.
So there's no reason that there would be any condition from our side that couldn't be met as far as no activity at night. But, okay. You know, as far as unloading railroads, spotting railroads.
I may provide something in the, you know, I don't want to run afoul of kind of railroad requirements and so much, so forth, but I may put some language in the decision on.
We do load trucks and unload with trucks.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we're just speaking more towards the rail movement.
Yeah.
Because
I think it would be whatever would be the noise generator, and it would be the rail. I wouldn't think that. I mean, you can have the backup noises and so forth, but with trucks, but I'd say the primary is probably the railroad would be the primary noise generator. So I'll put some language in the decision. I don't know that it's I mean, it's always a challenge with these. In terms of, I don't know that, you know, the additional feet that the variance is taking would make much of a difference on that. But, you know, I'll put some language in the decision on that mitigating. So, yes, Mr. Knutson, you have anything additional?
Yeah,
and again, for the record, this is Mr. Knutson.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Paul Knutson here. The only thing I would add is that, and not being there myself to witness it, I'm from Finley, so I'm born and raised. In fact, whenever we'd have family come over, the train going by would cause my relatives to never sleep. And they're like, how do you guys sleep here with all these trains running by? But we were over off a chemical drive in Finley Road. Here, it should be noted, though, that this is a spur. So this isn't just taking rail cars that's from this site. They have an additional spur where they do the loading and unloading, yes. But this also is a spur that serves the Agrium site. And so,
this is a spur that serves just this site. Is that what I heard?
If you look closely, mm-hmm. this is a small spur off of a larger spur. So I just want to make sure that, you know, it's clear that they're tankers that are coming here. There is a small spur for them, but this line that runs next to their house continues to go back and it goes to the Agrium plant. So there's, you know, and those kind of trips.
So it's serving that. So I guess in terms of on the.
It serves more than just this yeah. client, okay. is my point.
I think that's important to note, so, yeah.
All right, but thank you.
Yep. Okay. All right, I will take this under consideration. A decision on this will be out within 10 business days. That will be emailed to the applicant. And also, actually, Ms. Barrett, if you could provide the planning department, neglected to get your address, although they probably have it since this is your house. Actually, is it 231905 East LaKelt Road? Is that?
Yes.
That's it. Okay. All right. So that will be emailed to you, or if you prefer, mailed, unless you prefer email. Okay. So they may call you for your email. But okay. I think that's, I don't have any further questions on that one. So you're welcome to stay for the last matter, but no need to do so. So. All right, I think we've gotten through everything, and then we're back to the null and void request for the pit bull pen. And am I loud enough now? Let me check. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, no, we're on the pit bull pen proposal, the null and void request. Can you hear me?
Oh, I would like to do them. Yes, cancel the permit.
Let me actually one moment. Let me. I'll call you up, but just one moment. Let me get
a little closer.
Okay.
I got to get out of this business.
Yeah. So, and actually, are you Mr. Greeno?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Greeno, I'm going to hear from staff first. And then I'll have you testify. I just wanted to make sure that you can hear me okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great.
At that volume, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, I'll try to keep it loud because I know I may have forgotten a little bit with the other matters, but this is your matter. So I want to make sure that I am loud enough so you can hear me. So just for the record, we are on matter 2020-013. This is a null and void request for the pit bull pen, which was authorized by this conditional use permit. I am going to allow comment on it. It's a little unusual to have comment on a null and void request, but I will allow comment. I will note that my discretion is a bit limited on a null and void, so I don't look at the same criteria that I review. Like, I don't look at the CUP criteria. It's really, is this a use that is intended to be, is it existing? Is it continued to exist? Those are the questions that I asked. So it's a fairly narrow in terms of what I have authority to decide. So, but first, I think it was Ms. Mercer that was that. Okay, so we may not have staff because she had to leave, I think.
And she's still available.
Okay. Ms. Mercer, was there anything that you wanted to state on the proposal?
I can certainly go over the summary again as you have it. Essentially, we...
Let me swear you in real quick. Can you state your name for the record?
Michelle Mercer.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And Ms. Mercer, I did receive both the staff report and the supplemental staff report, and I did review both of those as well as the comments that have come in. And those are all admitted into the record. And I think we're at HEM 1.11. Is that okay? Yeah, those are all admitted. So I've already reviewed everything, but you can, if you wanted to provide a brief summary, that's fine.
I certainly can do that. All right. So the applicant originally came to our office for a conditional use permit for a commercial dog kennel of not more than 20 dogs to operate a dog rescue kennel and adoption center. At the time, the applicant was listed as the Pitbull Pen LLC, which is a 503 nonprofit. The property owner at the time was a Mrs. Nancy Strom, who had given her consent to allow the operation on the subject property. Unfortunately, Mrs. Strom had passed away in 2023. The legal ownership, according to the assessor's records, has transferred to Mr. Greeno. And this year, Mr. Greeno supplied our office with a written request to null and void the CUP for the Pitbull Pen. It is staff's understanding, after speaking with the current board of the Pitbull Pen, that the Pitbull Pen has decided to reorganize their operations, and they are now currently doing foster home care only for the animals instead of a site-based rescue center. The board supports Mr. Greeno's request to null and void this CUP, as they are no longer operating on site as of November of 2024.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mercer. And I think you had a deadline, you had to leave at 10:40. So there, I do not have any questions for you, so that no issue with that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Greeno, I will turn to you. If you could state your name for the record.
Jess Greeno Jr.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to add? I understand that you are the property owner and you are not intending to operate this use. Is that correct?
Yes, and I fall back on the permit itself. The last page, gosh. Oh, here we are. And it's evidently an addition to the permit, because it states that if the new owner wishes to operate commercial kennels on the location, the application must be permitted and approved by the... And so I fall back on that.
Yes, I did look back at the permit and I saw that language in there. Yes, that is correct.
And my plan is to sell the property. I just went through a lot of, the last 2 years, my wife passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the funds has some kind of cut me down to where I'm really pinching pennies. And so I talked to my real estate agent, and he said it would be best if the buildings was not occupied. And the people has been real cooperative about moving out and that sort of thing. And so to give you a little background, in the county records, Trish has never, she operated that even when she didn't have a permit, and they would, and the county would come out and cite her. And I want to point out that I was really appreciative of that, because there's a tremendous risk with raising dogs, and where I feel there is. And I tried to get her to give me get me covered for the risk. It never worked out. I had to go and get my own liability. She hasn't paid any form of rent per se. So it's been an overhead thing for me. And I'm just hoping that we can get it closed out without any problem. I have enough problems with her as it is. And that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Greeno. I do not have any questions for you. I think I understand the circumstances.
Okay. And when can I get some communication on this?
You will get a decision from me, and it will be out within 10 business days, possibly earlier.
Pardon?
You will receive a decision from me. It will be sent to the planning department, so within 10 business days.
Okay.
So fairly short order. I'm required to issue a decision within 10 business days. So.
Yeah, I got I sent for the, well, my son sent for the records, and I ended up with three ring notebooks full of stuff that should not have happened. So, I'm just hoping you decide my way.
Thank you, Mr. Greeno. So at this point, it's a little unusual on a null and void to open this up for public comment, but there is some interest in this, so I will do so. I'll limit comment to about 3 to 5 minutes. As I noted earlier, I have very limited jurisdiction on this, because it's not like I'm not approving a use for the first time, so you don't have the kind of the more discretionary criteria that are reviewed for a permit of first, or a decision of first impression, if you will. So is there anyone in the hearing room who would like to comment on this proposal?
I have one more thing.
Let's conclude public comment first, Mr. Okay. Greeno, and then you can come back up if you wish. And is there anyone online who would like to comment on this proposal?
I would like to address this.
If you could state your name for the record.
Trish Trickett.
Good morning, Ms. Trickett.
Do you
swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. You may proceed when you are ready.
Okay. There is pending litigation regarding the ownership of this property. I'm assuming you do not want me to address all of his comments, but I am asking this.
I know that there's a kind of a bit of a family dispute, and I don't get into that at all. I wish you all the best in resolving all that, but I don't have authority over that. With regard to I did see that there were pleadings, paperwork that were filed on the ongoing litigation. I don't have jurisdiction over, leases, title, that sort of thing. It's just a very narrow question of the permit. That's it.
Correct. My only request is if this could be set aside until the litigation is completed and then decide.
Okay, so it's a stay, if you will. I am under certain time limit. Typically, I have to issue with a decision within 10 business days. So I'm not sure that I have authority to extend a decision. I think I do have to get a decision out in short order. And I realize there's ongoing litigation, but this is entirely separate from that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my only request. I'm not going to argue any of the details.
Yep. Okay. All right. Is there anything that you else, or is that all? Is just the one request?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Trickett, for your testimony this morning. Is there anyone else online who would like to comment on this proposal?
Yes. Good morning. I would like to ask a couple of questions.
Yes. If you could state your name for the record, and then you can identify your questions, and we'll see how to handle them. This is not a permit request, so it's a little different. But go ahead and state where you're. But let me get you sworn in first. If you could state your name again.
Good morning. My name is Dilo Van Schatlo.
Can you spell that for me?
Yes, that's D as in David, L as in Larry, O, V as in Valentine, A as in Alpha, N as in Nancy. That's my first name.
Okay.
Last name is Schatlo, S as in Sam, C as in Cat, H as in Hotel, A as in Apple, T as in Tom, L as in Larry, O. That's my last name.
Okay. And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. And do you state that Ms. Schlatmo, am I saying that right?
Schlatmo.
Schlatmo. Okay. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you. My one question is, once the permit is revoked, is there an opportunity to receive another conditional use permit for that property? Is it specific? Is it specific to the property or is it specific to the applicant?
So both. I actually can answer that question in terms of how a CUP is structured. Certainly another CUP can be submitted, but you do have to have both the property owner and then the applicant. A lot of times they're the same, but both the property and the applicant for the use have to consent to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Then I just would like to reiterate the request to maybe issue a decision that this would be set aside until the litigation is pending, until the pending litigation is resolved.
Okay.
Because the ownership of the property is not as black and white as.
And I can't decide some title. That's a spirit court. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schnapp. Mo, my apologies.
All right.
Is there anyone else online who would like to testify on this proposal?
I don't see anybody else online.
Okay. All right. So then, Mr. Greeno, I'll turn back to you. It looked like there was something else that you wanted to add. Is that correct?
Pardon?
Did you want to say anything further?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't want to get involved with the laundry, but I guess I should say something about it.
About the what?
The laundry.
Oh, no, please don't, actually. So, I know there's an outstanding dispute. I have no jurisdiction over it. I can't resolve title. I know there are heartfelt issues on both sides. I don't have any sort of equitable authority, if you will. I wish I could resolve your all's pursuit. I can't. I just have very limited. Yeah. So don't bring up the laundry.
Okay. Could you send me a copy of those comments?
There's a recording and that will be posted online probably if that's requested. So we can do it that way. There's not a transcript.
Yeah, I have a problem with that because my computer is it's about 20 years old, I think. So
you can stop by the office.
Maybe text.
If you wanted to stop by the office, we can review it together.
Down at Price City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, of course.
And he just left me. That was one thing I was wanting to point out. Well.
All right. I would note this is beyond my jurisdiction, of course, but sometimes parties will engage in mediation rather than litigation.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with that. I don't, but sometimes mediated solutions, particularly for family matters, are appropriate. Sometimes they're not. Every case is different, but I just note that for the parties.
You notice that this last permit was not signed by me, and I never knew about it until I got the full right.
Understood. It was a previous property owner. So,
and,
I think I have what I need, Mr. Greenell. I think I do. I think I've got the facts that I need on this.
I got one more thing to say.
Okay, all right.
The fact that my wife was going through dementia and right into Alzheimer's thing during that period. And since I didn't know about it, I couldn't do anything about it.
Understood. I understand what dementia can do. That's very rough, as is, and Alzheimer's is certainly part of that. So thank you, Mr. Greeno, for your testimony. So as I noted earlier, my authority on this is limited. It sounds like the use is not operating. We don't have property owner consent. And we even don't have the applicant consent as well. So without all of that, really a permit cannot operate. And I don't have authority to hold on issuing a decision. So I will issue a decision on this within 10 business days per the usual legal requirements. I do hope the parties are able to resolve things. It sounds like there's a lot of issues in the background, but I don't have jurisdiction over those. So a decision will be out within 10 business days. That will be forwarded to the planning department and then sent to you, of course, Mr. Greenell, but also to the other interested party. So any procedural questions before we adjourn? Nope.
Nobody online.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for attending this morning's proceeding. We are adjourned.
Thank you.